already had 4 baptisms this morning. And each of those folks who were baptized did such a great job of sharing about their understanding and experience with Jesus. I'm going to keep it short today. I'm simply going to spend a few minutes taking a bit of a closer look at the topic of baptism, especially because I know there are a lot of guests with us this morning. There's a passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul is writing about the unity that Christians share by nature of belief in Christ. And he writes this. He writes, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." It was funny, one author I came across this week acknowledged the almost comedic irony of Paul talking about one baptism here, given that nowadays baptism is probably one of the most argued about and differently viewed practices in all of Christianity. That is to say, almost all streams of Christianity agree it's important, it's something we ought to do, and yet there is a huge breadth of disagreement when it comes to the who and the when and the how and even the why that someone might be baptized. And my goal today is not to compare and contrast them all. It's not to try and argue that we've got it right and everyone else is wrong, or even explain how each denomination has come to their respective conclusions. That's not the goal. There's plenty of material out there. If you're interested and you want to look it up, there is plenty of that out there. Instead, my goal today is simply to offer a little bit more clarity, a bit more clarity about what we here mean when we talk about baptism, a bit about why it's so significant for those who participated today, and then, of course, how we collectively can all respond, no matter where you might be at in your respective faith journey. So allow me to seek the Lord's wisdom together, and then we will get into it. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the celebration we have already had this morning and the celebration that will continue. God, I pray that as we spend some time now reading from your word and talking about baptism, you will make it clear to us. Open our eyes, ears, and hearts to your message and your truth, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what do we here at Community Bible Church mean when we talk about baptism? Well, the phrase that often gets used, and in fact I think Nicole referenced it this morning, is that baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality, which is to say that we are talking about someone who is already a Christian, publicly now declaring their faith in Jesus, just as you heard and saw this morning. Baptism is not here about joining our membership list. It's not about getting saved or being forgiven or getting into heaven. It is for those who have already believed in the person and work of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and the salvation of their souls. Now, the English word baptize comes from a Greek word, baptizo. Real creative. And the word baptizo literally means to immerse or to submerge. In other ancient text documents outside of the New Testament, the word baptizo was used to describe ships that had been overcome by water and had sunk within it. Or in one infamous example that I seem to like here, it was actually used to describe vegetables submerged in vinegar in a pickle recipe. Baptizo. That's something you know now. That is one reason why when we baptize here, we choose to take a person and physically dunk them under a pool of water. That's one reason. The other reason is because of what it symbolizes. In part of the book of Romans, the author Paul, the apostle, is challenging some misconceptions that different people might have about the grace of Jesus and his willingness to forgive sins. And in chapter 6, he begins almost a hypothetical argument with an imaginary opponent, someone who might suggest that if we truly believe, as we say we do, that Jesus will forgive any sin if we ask him, someone might come up to that and say, well, if you really believe that, there's no motivation to stop doing bad things. If you believe that you'll always be forgiven, why do you need to stop doing bad things? Why would you ever stop sinning? And to that question, Paul responds in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1, and this will be up on the slides. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Far from it. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all time. But the life that he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now this passage as a whole isn't really about baptism, but it does give us some insight into how Paul views it. That when someone is dunked under the water, they are symbolically referring to joining with Christ in his death. They're acknowledging that they are considered dead to sin and that their old life is gone. And when they are raised back up above the surface, it points to his resurrection, his defeat of sin and death, and the new life that we've been given by believing in him. And that we can then rest assured that we will one day rise with him into eternity. Now, of course, all of this factors into why we baptize and why it is so significant for those who have walked the waters of baptism this morning. It is a public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ and his saving work on the cross. But it's also more than that. As was also hinted at, it is an act of obedience. Michael spoke earlier that Jesus himself was baptized and he commanded his followers to go and baptize people as they made disciples. While in John 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that's what Oliver and Michael and Nicole and Thomas were doing today. They were being obedient to a command of Jesus. And beyond even that, beyond a declaration, beyond an act of obedience, it's also a commitment. It's a chance for a believer to stand before their church family and commit. To commit to living a life with a desire to follow Christ for his glory. Now, further down in that passage we were reading in Romans 6, Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, sin is not to reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the parts of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your body's parts as instruments of righteousness for God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Now, this is something that none of us will ever get perfect this side of eternity. But baptism stands as a way of saying publicly, it's my intention to do my best. It's my intention to live this way as though I am freed from the power of sin, freed unto Christ as empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that naturally leads us to our final focus this morning, which is how. How can we respond? And at the risk of being a little bit divisive this morning, I'm going to say that your response to what has happened here today is going to change depending on where you're at in your individual faith journey. Maybe some of you are here today as a visitor, and this is all new, perhaps even strange to you. We're singing songs, we're dunking people in water. What is this all about? Well, if that's you, my challenge to you this morning is to just respond by being open. Being open. Ask some questions. What if there's some truth here? What if Jesus actually walked this earth and was the Son of God? What if the Bible is true? What if there is something more to these stories that I've maybe heard about or maybe never heard about or just whatever is going on in that place on Highway 7? What if? Talk to the person who invited you. Talk to the person you're here for today. Ask some questions. Or even better, I'm going to challenge you, reach out to God in prayer and ask some questions. Ask him to show you if he is real. But you have to be open. That's my challenge for you today. Maybe you're here today and this isn't new per se for you, but you don't think that it is for you. Maybe your parents drag you here. Maybe your spouse expects you to be here, or maybe you're here to support a friend, perhaps someone who is baptized today. And maybe you think to yourself, it's great for them that they have something to get them through the days, but it's not for me. Maybe you believe that God exists, but this Jesus character is kind of confusing. If you're being honest, you've never really felt a need for God in your life. If that's you this morning, I'd challenge you also to respond by being open and perhaps even take it one step further by taking a step of faith. Take a good hard look at what it is that's holding you back from believing. Ask yourself if you know what is going to happen when you die, what the purpose of this life is. Ask yourself if you actually truly believe that you don't need God. Maybe you're here today and you've believed in Jesus already. You're a Christian saved by grace through faith, and yet you haven't yet been baptized. It's awkward, right? It's weird to be dunked in water in front of people. Objectively, we can say that, right? One of the greatest fears publicly in the world is public speaking, and that is the thing that I hear most often. I don't want to talk in front of people. It's scary, it's awkward, it's weird. Well, if that's you this morning, the challenge for you is to be obedient to Christ by being baptized. It's okay if you have fear or reservations. At the very least, come and talk to us about those fears or what those concerns are. We'd love to chat, and I would love to be filling up that tank again soon. Or let me rephrase, I'm more than happy to go to someone who knows how to fill the tank and how to heat it up and get them to do that work for me, because I have no idea what I'm doing back there. That might get weird. And finally, maybe you're here this morning and you have believed and you have been baptized. In fact, I assume that's probably most of us here this morning. I'm going to give you challenges as well. In fact, I'm going to give you a bigger task. I'm going to give you three challenges this morning. First, I want you to take some time this morning and consider the commitment that you made before God when you walked the waters of baptism. Consider whether you're still holding to that commitment and where you could perhaps be doing better, and ask for God's strength and wisdom in that process. Second, I want you to celebrate. Celebrate with the four people who were baptized today. I want you to encourage them. I want you to congratulate them and welcome them, to praise God for the ways that he is working in their lives. And last but not least, commit to praying for them. I know many of us have had the experience around the time of our baptism of noticing that that time period in our life is filled with extra struggle or difficulty, suffering, temptation, doubt, fear, maybe even rejection from friends and family who just don't get it. So pray for the people who are baptized today. Pray for their friends, their family. Pray for peace. Pray for that God would bless and would affirm them in their decision today. Pray for protection for them. In fact, we're going to take some time to do that together right now. We've asked each of the four who were baptized to invite someone to pray over them this morning, one by one. So I'd like to invite Oliver and Michael and Nicole and Thomas to come up and join me on the platform, as well as those who you have asked to pray for you.